and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I am Amy, here with Pat, and today is Thursday, October 15th, 2020.
Bitcoin is down. It was up all day. It was 11, but it's we're recording kind of late. It's down to 11,296, down just about 1%. And Ethereum is also trending down to 367, down about 2.5%.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Okay, up first, we have a report that G7 financial leaders say that they will oppose Libra. We haven't heard too much from Facebook Libra lately, but they will oppose Libra until it's adequately regulated.
Yeah, I love Libra news because it's pretty much all, it's this funny proxy of how much people hate Facebook but can't attack Facebook itself. Like, there's so much kind of like, you know, there's so many people, individuals that like Facebook that it's hard for governments to come out and be too harsh on Facebook because of all the, you know, the political pressure and everything. But anything that Facebook does, there's just instant anger about. And Libra is a great example. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I love crypto. I love what's going on. I fully support Facebook's drive into cryptocurrency. I would be very hesitant to ever use it. I certainly would be very scared about a world where Facebook controlled a significant digital currency. I mean, you know, the world makes jokes about things falling into a cyberpunk dystopian future. But you know, for the most part, I think it's hyperbolic. But if Facebook controlled both a digital currency with, you know, with all of everything that implies of a centralized digital currency, which means that they can suspend your accounts, they can, you know, they have sort of overall complete and utter power over the issuance of this currency. So essentially, it's beginning the process of turning corporations into nation states, which is honestly very terrifying. And you look at, like, you then layer on that with the propaganda efforts and the internal politics that Facebook has, and it really is a scary prospect. And you know, I'm all for free markets, especially in the crypto world, but I think it's super funny also. I mean, the other side of this is that's super funny is that a lot of crypto is, it's a amorphous blob that you can't really shoot, you know, you can't shoot your guns at, right? Like, you're, as a European power, you can't do anything about DeFi. DeFi is this relatively unstoppable force. But Facebook and, you know, Libra is something that you can threaten and you can put your guns at, and you can make them stop doing what they're doing. So I like Libra news. It's always fun to watch it. It's super hard for me at this point to imagine anything substantial happening from Libra. There's already been, I know there's already been a few high profile people leaving the company. So it should be interesting to see what happens here. But Facebook really like poked a hornet's nest in some ways when they started trying to get into the currency game as well as everything else.
Okay. All right. Next, OTC desks report renewed interest in Bitcoin and Ether, less so for DeFi tokens.
Yeah. The important story here is that the money is not, there's not a lot of money going towards DeFi right now. We're starting to enter, can you even call it a DeFi winter if the summer, spring and fall only lasted like 2.5 months? So we'll call it like a DeFi spring freeze or something. But there is, I mean, there's significant movement of actual institutional investors towards crypto. We talked about it yesterday. We saw it. We're seeing it today. We are seeing the market, the crypto markets were, you know, went on a tear this morning in U.S. time, retraced a little bit this evening as other markets were waking up on Friday morning. But it doesn't really, you know, there are significant moves being made right now. What's really cool is there are significant moves being made right now with Bitcoin as a hedge. That's what I think is really exciting and what we're really seeing here. Everyone is nervous. The markets are nervous. People are nervous about the election. Everyone is nervous about everything right now. And you're seeing bullish sentiments on Bitcoin. That is really exciting.
All right. Okay, up next, so we have enterprise-based fintech platform Kodi. They've rolled out a decentralized crypto market volatility index to help investors quantify risk, and people are calling it the fear index.
This one to me is really interesting. I did some digging around this, and I couldn't find, they haven't published a ton of stuff. They published a Medium post that was a little bit fluffy. They haven't published a lot of their internal mechanics of this. I don't really see how you do a good volatility index on the blockchain. Because I mean, I guess, you know, you can do this as sort of just a straight options play where different volatility, you make bets on the volatility and then those bets pay out one way or the other, based on the market. I think that's cool. I don't think that really is much different than other options, derivative markets, and whether that's decentralized or not, doesn't really matter because there's a lot of different ways to make bets on it, but then they are publishing a volatility index on it. And you know, that's traditionally been a measure that has traditionally been an important part of markets. Like pretty much every market in the world now has every market and every substantial commodity play, everything has volatility indexes tracking them. So this is bullish. Everything's a bullish sign, you know. So when people moving more traditional financial instruments onto the decentralized marketplaces, decentralized networks is good. So this will be interesting to watch and see what happens. But I want to see a lot more technical details about this before it's like, you know, actually called out as something as a successful project or something to be kind of like actively used.
All right. After that, we have Grayscale's Ethereum Trust joins GBTC as SEC registered reporting company.
Yeah. So we talked about the GBTC registering with the SEC under the, you know, for open reporting. Essentially, you have a few different options. If you're a fund and you're taking money from individuals, you have a few different options for how you do that in a regulated way. The most basic option is you accredit your investors, which is basically a process where you go through and, I mean, in the US, it's a little bit fluffy. I mean, it's mostly self-accreditation. So you make the investors attest that they have a certain yearly income or certain net value, whatever it is. And then you can expose them to your investments if they have over, let's say, $250,000 a year of income, then you can expose them to their assets. There tend to be other rules that follow along with that. Like you have restrictions on the size of the funds that you can have this fall under, and there's different restrictions that fall under these rules. There is no onus on either of these trusts. So either of these companies that are essentially doing funds of cryptocurrencies, there actually is no legal onus on them to do this registration with the SEC. That's what is newsworthy here. There is no actual legal obligation. These companies are not going public. They're not getting exchange traded. These aren't ETFs or anything like that. These are voluntary measures that they are taking to become more transparent to the SEC. And I guess you could say then to become more transparent to their investors. But that's not really like your transparency to your investors is always there. I mean, if your investors are going to invest in you, they're going to ask to see your books or they're going to ask to see your quarterly reports. So like investor transparency is already there. This is really about giving the SEC the ability to look into it. And I guess in some ways also there's a accountability thing here, which is saying that, hey, we are sending our reports to the SEC under penalty of perjury, more or less. I don't think it's actually strictly perjury, but it is. There's certainly fraud laws would actually apply here. So if one of these companies was actually lying about their internals and sending it to the SEC, the managing board of directors, the management of the fund, different people involved would all be criminally liable for that, plus the fund itself. So this is making a statement that they want to be taken seriously. They want to be legitimized in the eyes of the government, and they have trust in their processes and their tooling to be delivering accurate and truthful answers to their holdings. So, you know, I struggle to say if this is a non-story or not. I honestly don't know, but it is really interesting. Like, is this just a press release kind of thing where they're like, hey, we registered the SEC and they're going to try to trick people into thinking they went public? I that's kind of my sense on it, but it still is very interesting that these companies have the faith in their processes and the faith in the coins to go through with this. So,
all right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.